له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من أطاعه فقد رشد واهتدى ومن عصاه فقد ضل وغوى ولا يضر إلا نفسه ولن يضر الله شيئا أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وخير الحدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار Dear brothers and sisters, the topic this morning is the other part of Shahada. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. I have to speak about the messengerhood of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and its implications. As you know that I have to speak about the messengerhood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and its implications. As you know that every time a Prophet of God has come, the Kalimatul Shahada in his times was to believe in that particular Prophet. For example, in the times of Nuh alayhi salam, the kalima should be La ilaha illallah, and then Nuh is the messenger of Allah. And same is to be said about Moses, Musa alayhi salam, and Isa alayhi salam. But after our Prophet came, then La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Now, no other religion is to be accepted except the religion of Islam. No other prophet is the final authority except our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A question has been raised by many people that what about the good Christians and the good Jews, those who practice their faith, go to the church and do good deeds as well. So if they don't believe in our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what would happen to them? Now the answer is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the beginning of Surah Al-Bayyinah, لَمْ يَكُنِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ مُنْفَكِّينَ حَتَّى تَأْتِيَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَةُ رسول من الله يطلو صحفا مطهرة. The kuffar people from among mushrikeen and ahl kitab will not be removed from their kufr until a clear evidence has come to them. And this clear evidence is Rasulun min Allah, a messenger from Allah, yatlu suhufan mutahhara, who recites unto them purified scriptures. Now here, kuffar people are classified into two groups, Ahlul Kitab wal Mushrikeen. We must understand this distinction, because Quran is giving us that distinction between Ahlul Kitab and Mushrikeen. Because when it comes to the matter of marrying Ahlul Kitab ladies, some people would say, all right, Ahlul Kitab are Mushrikeen as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited us to marry a non-Muslim lady, a Mushrik lady. So, as long as Ahl Kitab are Mushrikeen and Kuffar, they should not be allowed, or Ahl Kitab ladies should not be allowed to be married by the Muslim men. So this is why let us understand this distinction which Quran has made between Ahlul Kitab and Mushrikeen. They are all kuffar, according to this ayah. They are all kuffar. But kuffar people are classified in these two groups. Whenever the Mushrikeen word is mentioned in the Quran, mostly it refers to the idol worshipper in Arabia. And whenever Ahlul Kitab is mentioned, Jews and Christians are meant. Why? Because they have been given a scripture from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Though both of them are kuffar, but Ahlul Kitab got some privileges which Mushrikeen don't have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, as far as marrying the Ahlul Kitab ladies, that it is allowed. In the same way, there is the biha is allowed. And if you present Islam to them and they don't accept it, but they accept to give you jizya, then of course they can live under an Islamic rule paying jizya to the Muslim ruler. But as far as the Mushrikeen were concerned, especially the Mushrikeen of Arabia, all these three concessions were not made to them. They could not live in Arabia by paying jizya alone. No. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fought them. So, some of them who were killed in the battles, of course, those who remain after them, they have to become Muslim. And if they don't become Muslim, then jizya was not acceptable from them. In the same way, their zabiha was not allowed. And they were kuffar, they were mushrikeen, so their women were not allowed to the Muslims to marry them. So in this way, we come to know this distinction between Ahlul Kitab and Mushrikeen. But as far as Iman is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very specific that these kuffar, whether they are mushrikeen or Ahlul Kitab, they will not be removed from their infidelity until they believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whether a Jew or a Christian is a good Christian or a good Jew, it doesn't matter. Once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has come, they have to believe in him as a Prophet of Allah, a Messenger of Allah. Now our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is Rasulullah, but he is a human being as well. The distinction comes that he receives the revelation from Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِشْرُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ. Say to them that I am mortal like you, but the difference is that revelation comes to me. And this revelation through Jibreel alayhi salam, lastly it came to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then it was terminated. So there is no more revelation after him to any mortal. And this topic, or this point I am going to discuss by the end of this speech, that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last of the Prophets. He is the seal of the Prophets. So no other person can claim prophethood after him. The mission of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in the light of that mission, we can determine our relation to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us take this ayah which has been repeated four times in the Quran, but with a little bit variance of the text. هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل في ضلال مبين. This verse is from Surah Al-Jumu'ah. Allah is the one who has sent fil ummiyin, among the unlettered people, rasulam minhum, a messenger out of them, yatlu alayhim ayatihi, who recites unto them his verses, wa yuzakkihim, he purifies them, wa yuallimuhum al-kitaba wal-hikmah, and he teaches them the book and the wisdom, wa in kanu min qabla fi dhalalin mubin, though they were in a manifest error before that. Let us try to ponder deep in this ayah. First of all, هو الذي, Allah, He is the one who is sending. He is not a messenger from another authority, another person. Neither messenger from Allah. The authority comes from Allah. Among whom he was sent? Among the unlettered people, Al-Ummiyin. Now the people of Arabia were given this title, and even our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given this title of Al-Ummi. Some people they translate it by saying illiterate. No, that is not a proper translation, because illiterate denotes ignorance of knowledge. But when you say unlettered, it may be more appropriate to the Arabic text. The Arab people were labeled as Ummiyin. Why? Because they did not receive any scripture from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their near past. Of course, they are the descendant of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam and Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. But it was 2000 years ago. So in their near past, they did not receive any scripture. Unlike Bani Israel, are Israelites who received a number of prophets of Allah and the book of Torah and Injil. So that was the reason they were labeled as Ummiyin and our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Al-Ummi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent among them a messenger out of them. That is another sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the messenger comes from among the very same people to whom he was commissioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said about Nuh alayhi salam, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فَقَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُم مِّنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ أَفَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. We have sent Nuh to his own people, and he said to his people, Oh my people, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no other God except him. Every people received a man from among them. And another thing, from not only from among them, but with their own language. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ. We did not send a messenger to some people except with the language of the very same people, just to make that task easy for them. Anyhow, in the case of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was the last prophet, and he was sent to Arabs immediately. So this is why the language which was used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that was Arabic. But because Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to remain the last prophet in the day of judgment, now this language becomes the language of Islam. So it becomes the duty of every Muslim to learn this language to understand the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now the word which is used for our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Rasulullah. He is the messenger of Allah. And he is also labeled as a Nabi. Ya ayyuhan Nabi, kulli azwajika wa banatika wa nisa'il mu'mineen. Ya ayyuhan Nabi, O Prophet. And there are of course so many other titles, but these two titles are very near to each other, An-Nabi and Ar-Rasul. So let us understand the distinction between An-Nabi and Ar-Rasul. What is the difference between these two terms? As you know that literally Nabi means the one who is giving you news of something that you don't know, and especially about the unseen, about Al-Ghaib. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us so many things which we did not know. He's telling us about al-akhirah, about al-jannah, about al-nar, what is going to happen in the grave. So in this sense, he is a nabi. He is giving you the news. Ar-Rasul, he is the messenger. He got a message, and that message is the message of Al-Quran. But through the recital of the Quran, we come to understand there are two very clear distinctions between Nabi and Ar-Rasul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent 124,000 Nabi, or prophets, to this world. Among them, some of them were Rasul as well. In Al-Quran, totally 25 Nabi and Rasul are mentioned. And among these 25 Nabi and Rasul, 5 Rasul are declared as Ulul Azm. Rasul with resolution, with Azm, with resolution. And they were Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, we come to know that there were a great number of Nabis, Anbiya, and a less number of Rasul who came to this world. Now see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised to the messengers. كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed that I will be dominant and my messengers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is strong and He is dominant. The word غَلَبَ is used. كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ. I am going to be dominant. Al-Ghalaba. And mostly, whenever in Quran the word غَلَبَ is used, it is not used just a dominance of your evidence, dominance of your arguments. No, it is used for political dominance, for physical dominance upon the opponents, upon the enemies. So it means that as far as the messengers of Allah are concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them dominance in this world. They were not defeated persons. They did not lose the battles. They did not run away from the harshness of the life. No. They brought this mission and they were successful. The second thing that all these messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they preached among their people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not punish those people until the last moment when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that these people should be destroyed because of the absence of their response. Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that, He destroyed the people, but He saved the messengers and the believers. In other words, we can say that a messenger of Allah is like a token of peace as long as he lives among his people. And once he leaves them, his people are destroyed. And this leaving his people, which is hijrah, was in different ways. Nuh alayhi salam did not leave his people, but he left them physically by transferring to an ark, to a boat. And once he boarded that boat, his people were drowned and he was saved. And the believers were saved. In the same fashion, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, when he came out of Egypt, he and his followers were saved, Pharaoh and his followers were destroyed. And take the example of Sayyidina Hud alayhi salam, Sayyidina Saleh alayhi salam. And all these cases, the people of these prophets of Allah or the messengers of Allah were destroyed. Why? Because they denied the messages of God. And this promise is not made to the prophets. It is only made to the messengers of Allah. Because as far as the prophets are concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us in Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَيَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ وَيَقْتُلُونَ الَّذِينَ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْقِسْطِ مِنَ النَّاسِ فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Those people who reject the verses of Allah and they kill the prophets unjustly and they kill those people who enjoin what is good, who enjoin the justice, give them the good news of a very severe punishment in the hellfire, in the hereafter. So it means that some prophets of Allah were killed because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has recorded in the book of Allah that there were some prophets who were killed. And we know that Zakariya alayhi salam was killed, Yahya alayhi salam was killed, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam was a messenger of Allah as well. He was not only a Nabi, he was a messenger of Allah and he was saved. Which shows the unity of that procedure among all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. that if he is a messenger, he is to be saved eventually. And he has to have dominance. Now in the case of Sayyidina Isa al-Islam, you can say, where is the dominance? At the age of 33, he was lifted alive to the heaven. And he did not rule, or he was not dominant. And the answer is, yes, he would be dominant. Because there is a second coming of Isa al-Islam. And in that second coming, he would be dominating, and he would be killing al-Masih al-Dajjal, the Antichrist. So the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be fulfilled. And there is this thing which I just said, that the people of the messengers of Allah, they are saved as long as the messenger is living among them. But once the messenger leaves them, then they are destroyed. What is the evidence for that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to punish them as long as you are among them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to punish them as long as they seek forgiveness from Allah. So it means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as long as you live among them, you are among them, I am not going to punish them. And this is what happened to them when Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left them. He came from Makkah to Medina. Then this peace which they enjoyed was taken from them. Of course, no heavenly punishment came to the people of Arabia, like Aad and Samud people, like the people of Noah, like the people of Moses. But there was another type of punishment awaiting them, and that was the fighting which broke between the prophets and the Meccan people or the Arabian people. And in those fights, they were killed by the swords of the believers. That was the punishment they received in this world. And of course, the punishment of the hereafter is more than that. So by this difference, we come to know that Rasul is a higher rank, and every Rasul is to be dominant, and his people is to be destroyed. So our belief is that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not only Nabi, he is also a messenger. So he is given the dominance, and it was materialized when he came to Medina and he became the first head of the first Islamic state. Now let us take some different missions of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which are mentioned in this ayah. Our Prophet yatlu alayhim ayatihi, he recites unto them his verses. Prophet is not like a postman. He delivers the letter and he goes away. No. He lives among his people because he has to show them a practical example of the messages of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived 23 years after the prophethood, showing how to implement this Qur'an. And the first stage of this job is to read the verses of the Qur'an. Whenever any verse comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he reads unto them. He read the whole chapter. And in these messages of Qur'an, of course, there were so many things against the kuffar. So kuffar did not like that. They said, oh, there is no mention of our God, no mention of our idols. They did not believe in it. So they said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
وَإِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُنَا بَيِّنَاتٍ قَالَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا ائت بِقُرْآنٍ غَيْرِ هَذَا أَوْ بَدِّلْ قُلْ مَا يَكُونُ لِي أَنْ أُبَدِّلَهُ مِنْ تِلْقَاءِ نَفْسِي إِنْ أَتَّبِعُ إِلَّا مَا يُوحَى إِلَيَّ إِنِّي أَخَافُ إِنْ عَصَيْتُ رَبِّي عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ
Those people who don't hope to meet us, means the kuffar people, قَالَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا, they said to our Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, إِيْتِ بِقُرْآنٍ غَيْرِ هَذَا أَوْ بَدِّلْهُ, bring another Qur'an, because this Qur'an is so hard, it speaks so harshly about our idols. So bring another Qur'an. And if you can't bring another Qur'an, then at least change it. Aw baddilhu. Make some changes into it. Make it soft, make it a bit softer. Huh? What was the answer of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? قُلْ مَا يَكُنُ لِيَنُ بَدِّلَهُ مِنْ تِلْقَاءِ نَفْسِ إِنْ أَتَّبِعُ إِلَّا مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ إِنْ أَتَّبِعُ إِلَّا مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ إِنِّي أَخَافُ إِنْ عَصَيْتُ رَبِّي عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, I can't change it from my own will. I just follow what is revealed unto me. I fear that if I change, I will receive the punishment from my Lord. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his duty is to recite the verses of Al-Qur'an as he receives them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can't change them, not even a letter out of it. There is something interesting I remember, let me mention it, that once a Jew, a very clever Jew, thought. And this thought came to his mind and he said, oh, that is a brilliant thought. He said that in this Qur'an, Jews are mentioned with phrases, with statements which are not good. Like, ضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الظِّلَّةُ وَالْمَسْكَنَةُ وَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. These people have been stamped with humility and disgrace. And they returned with the wrath of Allah, with the anger of Allah. So that Jew said, let me change these words, like a zilla, humility, wal maskana, and disgrace, and bi ghadabin min Allah, bi wrath of Allah. Let me change these words and put some better words. Let me change it like, ghuribat alayhimu rahmatu wa shafaqa. These people were stamped with mercy and love. Wa ba'u bi ridha min Allah, and they returned with the pleasure of Allah. Let me change these words in the copies of the Quran, and let me circulate these new copies among the Muslims. And after a few years' time, the people would forget what they were reading before, and they will start reading what I have dictated to them. He said, that is a brilliant idea. So, he was thinking about that, and he was visiting an Arab country. What happened? He entered a shop, the shop of a grocer. The man who was selling the vegetables was the Hafiz of Quran. And his minor son, 7-8 years old, was the Hafiz of Quran, who was reading Quran by his memory to his father, just to listen to it. The man is listening to his son. Whenever the son did any mistake, a very tiny mistake of a change of fatha or kasra, the father said, repeat. Say it again, because they have done a mistake. So he has to repeat it. Now this Jew realized that even if a tiny mistake of one fatha or kasra is done, it is detected. What about the whole passage? About the whole the word, if I change it? Nobody is going to detect it? No. It is. It is going to be detected. So he said, no, this thought is not going to work. So he abandoned it. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of his duty is to recite the Qur'an as it was revealed. No change at all. Not like the statements given by the rulers. Today one statement, tomorrow they say, oh, we withdraw that statement because of some pressures or because of some other circumstances. No, that is the Prophet of Allah. He recites what is given to him. And Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after this ayah which I just recited, after that ayah of Surah Yunus said, قُلْ لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا تَلَوْتُهُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَا أَضْرَاكُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ لَبِسْتُ فِيكُمْ عُمْرًا مِنْ قَبْلِهِ فَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed, I did not recite these verses to you. I did not know them. Meaning that this is Allah who gave me these verses. And if He did not give me, I was not able to recite them unto you. And this is why he said, don't you think that I have lived a long life among you? 40 years among you? I was not reading Quran at that time. If you think now I have fabricated it, why did not I read this Quran unto you before that? So in this way, he proved to them that whatever he is reading from Allah. The second function which is given in this ayah is وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. He teaches them the book and the wisdom. Now look at these two words, book and the wisdom. Al-Kitab and Al-Hikmah. The very same words are used for Isa alayhi salam in Surah Al-Imran. وَيُعَلِّمُهُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَالْتَوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches him the book and the wisdom and Tawrat and Injil. Are they four things? No, they are not four things. They are only two things, Tawrat and Al-Injil. But the first two words which are mentioned in this ayah is just an explanation for Tawrat and Injil. What is Tawrat? It's a book. Book here means commandments, because when a commandment is given, even in the Quran, it starts with the words like this, kutiba alaykum al-qisas fil-qatla, ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kutiba alaykum al-siyam. So the word kutiba, it is decreed. From that, the whole book is known as al-kitab. So Tawrat is al-kitab, because it gives commandments. And Injil is al-hikmah, because they are pearls of wisdoms. What is Injil? If you read the present thing which is available to us, the real Injil is not available. Only some bits of it are available in the forms of Injil. You will find parables. And they are very good parables. And some parables are very much known to the Muslims as well. For example, one hadith of Qudsi, which says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say to the man on the day of judgment, that, O man, I was ill, why did not you come to see me? I was without dress, why did not you give me dress? I was thirsty, why did not you give me water? I was hungry, why did not you give me food? And the man would say, O Allah, how could you be thirsty and hungry and without dress and this and that? He said, My slave was ill and you did not go to visit him. My slave was hungry, you did not go to feed him. This is a hadith of Qudsi, and if you read Bible, the New Testament, you will find a similar statement by Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. So it means that these were pearls of wisdoms, and as Tolstoy has said, he said, what is Injil? He said, Injil is just like pearls scattered in a dustbin. You have to pick them up. So they are pieces of wisdom. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared it al-hikmah. And as far as our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is concerned, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. He teaches them the book and the wisdom. The book and the wisdom. So what is the book? Of course, Al-Quran. So many commandments are given. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained them. For example, the verse of Surah At-Tawbah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الظَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةَ ثُمَّ لَا يُنْفِقُونَهُمَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ عَلِيمٍ. Those people who hoard the gold and the silver, then they don't spend it in the way of Allah, give them the good news of a very severe punishment. And Sahaba Ikram said, oh, all of us got some gold and silver, so it means that we are going to be given the hellfire. So they were very much frightened. They came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the meaning of this ayah? And he said, the word kanz, holding. He explained the word kanz to them. He said to them, kanz is that holding when you don't pay zakat. Once you pay zakat, it is no more holding. So this is the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was teaching them the book. Another example, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِسَاسُ فِي الْقَتْلَ الْفَرُّ بِالْفَرِّ وَالْعَبْدُ بِالْعَبْدِ وَالْنُسَى بِالْنُسَى. The law of retribution is decreed upon you, that the man should be killed if he has killed another person. Now this is the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يُقْتَلُ الْمُسْلِمُ بِالْكَافِرِ وَلَا يُقْتَلُ الْوَالِدُ بِوَلَدِهِ. A Muslim is not going to be killed if he has killed a kafir. And a father is not going to be killed if he has killed his own son. Quran does not speak about this exception, but our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has spoken about this exception, teaching the book. So let us understand the book in the proper way, under an Islamic rule. Of course, if a Muslim kills the kafir, then he has to pay the blood money, ad-diyah, but he is not going to be killed for that, because Muslim and kafir are not equal. They are not equal. In the same way, if a father has killed his own son, he may be imprisoned if the Qazi thinks so, but he is not going to be killed because of the killing of his son, because the son is his descendant, or he is the root or the origin of his son. And once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said to the man, "Anta wa maluka li abika," you and your property belong to your father. Again, another ayah about an inheritance. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ إِنْ تَرَكَ خَيْرًا الْوَصِيَّةُ لِلْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ. It is decreed upon you if you have left some money at the time of your death. It is decreed upon you to make a will for the parents and your relatives. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that la wasiyata li warithin, there is no will for the person who inherits. So it means that you can do this will for any other person other than your own relatives, because later when in Surah An-Nisa all the shares were given, the share of a father and a mother and a son and a daughter, then the will for these inheritors was not allowed. So in this way, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching the book. You can't take any verse and say, "All right, this is the explanation," until you know how Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explained this verse. Now the second thing which is mentioned here is al-hikmah, the wisdom. Whatever Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has spoken is the piece of wisdom. That is in hadith. When he says that Muslim wa akhul Muslim, la yazlimuhu, wa la yakhdhuluhu, wa la yahqiruhu. Muslim is the brother of the Muslim. He does not despise him. He does not inflict cruelty upon him. He does not leave him at the time of adversity. These are the pieces of wisdom which Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given to us. That is al-hikmah. So al-hikmah is the explanation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of al-Qur'an, or any general saying that he has said, that is al-hikmah. So the first function is to recite the verses of Qur'an, the second, teach the book, third, teach the wisdom. The fourth which is mentioned here is وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, and he purifies them. How to purify? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given the practical example for that. First of all, let us understand that purification or tazkiyah was the objective of all the prophets of Allah. Our Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has said to Moses, اِذْهَبْ إِلَىٰ فِرَوْنَ إِنَّهُ تَغَىٰ فَقُلْ هَلَّكَ إِلَىٰ أَن تَزَكَّىٰ وَأَهْدِيَكَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَتَخْشَىٰ. Go to Fir'aun, go to Pharaoh and ask him, is he willing to be purified? Purification of the soul is very important. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with his own example, gave shining examples of that purification. As far as zakat is concerned, zakat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَحِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. Take from them sadaqah, and by this sadaqah you are going to purify them and make their tazkiyah, clean them. That is one way of tazkiyah, taking money as sadaqah. Because normally the people love money, they don't want to part with it. And this is why some people, they become niggardly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like this character of keeping money with you. Those people who were hypocrites, munafiqeen, they were treated by infaq, spending in the way of Allah. Read Surah Al-Munafiqun,
which they discuss about al-munafiqun right from the beginning. And in the end, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ مَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ فَيَقُولَ رَبِّ لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَأَصَّدَّقَ وَأَكُن مِّنَ الصَّالِحِينَ وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا وَاللَّهُ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Munafiqeen, nifaq treated by infaq, spend in the way of Allah. Read Surah Al-Hadid. And again, there is an expression, and a very good expression of al-munafiqun. What is going to happen to them on the Day of Judgment? They will be given no light at all. They will be asking light from the believers. And then after that, إِنَّ الْمُصَّدِّقِينَ وَالْمُصَّدِّقَاتِ, those people who give sadaqah in the way of Allah, men and women, and those people who give qardi hasan in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the people who are siddiq and shuhada. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to purify them with practical examples. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is known to be a thief. He is known to be a lover of wine. And he is asking a piece of advice from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Prophet just said to him only one thing, just one thing, لا تقرب, don't tell lies. And the man thought that, oh, this is something very easy, very easy. He went away. At night time, when he wanted to go for his job, that is stealing, he thought that what if Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked me tomorrow, what have you been doing last night? What I am going to say? If I tell a lie, I have just promised to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not to tell lie. And if I tell the truth, how could I face the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? In that way, he did not steal that night. And eventually, he left stealing altogether. In the same way, when he wanted to drink, the same thought occurred to him. So that tiny piece of advice benefited him a lot. To another person, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, لا تغضب, don't be angry. Don't be angry. Because when you are in an extreme anger, there is an animal hidden in you. You don't know what animal it is. It may be dog, it may be wolf, it may be a pig. But at the time of anger it comes out. When people start shouting, saliva is coming out of their mouth, and they are behaving in an abnormal fashion, you discover what type of animal you got hidden in yourself. And this is because of the anger that a man divorced his wife who was living with him for the last 20 years, 30 years. Just in a moment of anger he says, anti talaq, anti talaq, anti talaq. You are fired, you are fired, you are fired. And after that he says, oh, what I have done? And then he comes to this Mawlana and this Imam and that Imam. Oh, how could I take my wife back now? I have said this talaq, talaq, talaq three times. Anyhow, we got the solution, but this is not the topic to solve these problems now. The problems of talaq. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him this piece of advice, لا تغضب, don't be angry. And again he said that because anger is coming out of fire, so remove that anger by drinking a glass of water. I'm not angry, but I'm feeling thirsty. So, and change your position. If you are sitting, stand up. If you are standing, walk out. That is the best way to control yourself. And especially when you are very angry with your wife, try to use all these methods. And I'm saying the same thing to the sisters. If you are very angry, try to use these methods. Don't try to be with your husband in the same room. So you will keep on arguing until it ends up with divorce. It's better to move your place. Another young man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, O Prophet of Allah, Do you allow me or allow me to commit adultery? And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not become very angry to him. At once he said no. He got that good way of advising him. He said to this man, do you like this adultery to be done to your mother? He said, astaghfirullah, nobody likes that, huh? Do you like it for your sister? No. Do you like it for your aunt? No. Do you like it for your daughter? No. So he said, in the same way, that woman with whom you want to do to commit adultery, she may be a sister of someone, a daughter of someone, or a mother of someone. So if you don't like it, the other people don't like it as well, for their own sisters and mothers and daughters. So in that way the man realized that he is at fault. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed for him, O Allah, make him chaste and give him patience. And then this boy or this young man turned into a very good person. He never then glanced any woman. He was so afif and so pure or so chaste after that. So there is the tazkiyah of your action. And before the tazkiyah of action comes the tazkiyah of ilm, the tazkiyah of knowledge. And of course it is a very vast subject, tazkiyah of knowledge, that all the knowledge which is around us, you have to purify it, you have to take it what is beneficial. And you have to leave what is not beneficial. Tazkiyatul ilm. And after that comes tazkiyatul amal, to purify your action. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the one who reads the verses of Quran, he teaches the book and the wisdom, he purifies them, he purifies the souls, and then he got some other functions as well.